Welcome to our service. Happy Father's Day to those here who are fathers. Noticing the verse on the front, Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men and the glory of children are their fathers. Great verse for today. May God bless each father here as they are honored in this day. Let's begin our time of worship by turning to hymn number 209. This is the day, 209. For prayer. Father, we praise you for that faith we're singing about. Thank you for those who have gone on before us, who believed in Jesus, trusted in him for their salvation. They fought the good fight. We were talking in Sunday school about the challenges of persecution, things that may be coming our way. We thank you that we have the example of great men and women of God of the past who followed through with you, who stood firm and did not waver ultimately from their call and from their journey. And Father, we thank you for their example. We're reminded of many of them in the Hebrews 11 in that great hall of faith. Thank you for those who stood firm and proclaimed the truth. And we receive the heritage from them. We have a great cloud of witnesses, as Scripture says. And we pray that as we think of those who have gone before, that we will be encouraged in our faith and we will be challenged to walk with you as they did. Thank you for the time we have here today that we can encourage each other in the faith. Build one another up in Christ. And we pray that in this hour and in the fellowship that follows, that all that is said and done will bring honor and glory to your name, that Christ will be lifted high, the cross of Christ proclaimed. We pray that if there are any here today who do not know Jesus as their Savior, that they would put their faith and trust in him before they leave here today, be given eternal life, be on their way to heaven, and have a new heart, a new power, the Holy Spirit present in their life, enabling them to walk this path. Father, you are good, you are glorious, you are loving, and we trust you, we believe you, and we want to serve and follow you faithfully and fully. Help us in this hour to be encouraged in that direction and drawn closer to you and to one another. And we give you thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
In our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnashes with the teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answereth him, and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting." And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this special day when we remember the fathers, and we thank you for each and every one who has surrendered himself into your hands, our Heavenly Father. Lord, how gracious you are to us, how wonderful you are to help us in every situation of life. May we always look to you and be obedient to you and walk in the way that you would have us to go. Forgive us, our Father, wherein we stumble, wherein we fail, and help us to surrender to you completely. We thank you for each one who is here this morning and ask your special blessings upon us. We need your strength. We need your help in these days in which we live. We do pray for those who may be ill today. We pray for that you will bless them, supply their needs in every way. Think especially of Donna Silverwood. Pray for her that she might have a complete recovery from this sickness. Any others who are having difficulties now, we pray that you will meet their needs as well. We thank you, Lord, for supplying all of our needs here at the church, and ask you to continue to guide us and help us and in all that we do. Be with Pastor Steve as he'll be traveling down to Florida next week. We ask you to watch over him and keep him in your care. And we pray that you'll help us all to look to you and find the strength we need for each and every day that comes. May Christ our Lord and Savior be glorified, we pray. Help us to be good witnesses for you in this world in which we live today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've said a number of times, happy Father's Day. This is the day that has been set apart to honor our fathers. You know, for some, this brings fond memories of our relationship with our fathers. Everyone's had different experiences, I'm sure. For others, it might be more difficult to remember their fathers. I know I remember my father with joy and appreciation. He was a man who loved his family and provided for them. He loved missionaries especially. He supported a number of missionaries in various ways and loved the Lord most of all. You know, that's a wonderful heritage. And we appreciate that so much. I know he loved children especially. He was the candy man at his church and sought to make them happy. And went and brought them to church in his station wagon and all the rest. And I remember all those things, how wonderful it is to look back and see how God has blessed. In the Bible, we find many different fathers, some good and some bad. Today, we want to consider a father who's not even named. It doesn't say very much about him at all. He doesn't tell where he worked or what his attitude was or anything else, except he had a desperate need. We find one day he came in contact with Jesus. That's a glorious day, isn't it? Think of that. When did you come in contact with Jesus? This dear man had a special reason that he was looking for Jesus. He had heard the stories, you know, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and all of this. People are being raised from the dead, right? And he had a special need. He had a son that was captured by the devil. He had a demon spirit that left him deaf and dumb, mute, unable to speak, unable to hear. That's a terrible situation, isn't it? Well, as we see in the story here, the first part of this is glorious. Up on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and they see Moses and Elijah come and talk with Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration. How did they know that was Moses and Elijah? Had they seen a picture? I don't think so. But anyway, somehow they understood who this was, the greatest of the prophets. And God allowed them to understand that. And so they saw this, and Peter says, "Hey, Lord, let's set up three tents here, and one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we can just rest here and have a good time, right? Have a great old Bible conference or something like that." And then that's when the cloud came over, and the voice of authority spoke from heaven, right? "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." See, that's where the emphasis has to come. God does honor those who serve him and recognizes the potential that they have. But Jesus is the one that we look to, that we worship. We need to listen to him and not to anyone else. He has the authority. And he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go and preach the gospel to every creature." This is what Jesus is saying to these men that he took there with him. And so he tells them on the way back. Now they're coming down out of the mountain. No doubt enthused, rejoicing, exalted, and really happy about this situation. You know, you ever been to the mountaintop? You know, you go like and have such a great time rejoicing in the Lord, and then what happens? You have to come back down to the valley, right, where we find all of the needs and heartaches and sorrows that people endure all around us, you know. And so that's what's happening here. And Jesus explains to them, as they're traveling back down the mountain, he says, you know, the time's coming when I have to suffer many things, and I will rise again from the dead. And, you know, they never seemed to understand what he was talking about, did they? You know? They kind of thought, well, this must be some kind of mysterious message that he's giving to us. It means something else. You know, we don't want to think about death and resurrection, or he must mean something else. But anyway, they come on down, and they see this crowd down at the bottom of the hill. There's a discussion going on. It says a great multitude talking with the disciples, and the scribes are there questioning with them, what's going on here? And it says in verse 15, straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? What's going on here, in other words? It looks like there's some kind of excitement. And then this man speaks up. Do you notice what it says? One of the multitude. He's just every man. He's any man. You know? Approaching Jesus with a question, he says, Master, I have brought to thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And he takes him and tears him and foams and gnashes with his teeth, and he faints away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Here we have it. When Jesus isn't around, what can we do? You know, we need to look to him and find he has the power, and we have to look to him for the need. This certain man, notice, had a need. It says no name is given to him. He's one of the multitude. Over in the book of Luke, he calls him a man of the company. And each time, he's just an individual with a need, an unknown father. And he could represent anyone. And he comes to Jesus. And he's had this, he had only one son, it says. In Luke 9:38, behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. He didn't have any other children, and he had this one who was suffering from this demon possession and all of the consequences of it. Something, as they say, he was lunatic, it says in one place, which is like being epileptic or something of that nature, where you can't control yourself. He had one son, his heir, his pride and joy, no doubt, the only one he had, and his hope for the future. And what hope could he have with this one that is demon-possessed? And Jesus spoke to him about him. He says, how long has this been going on? He says, since childhood. Now, I don't know how young, but when he says he's been very, very young, he's been going through this, and it's such a terrible way to live. Can you imagine how he had to face all of this in his life the father with his son. There's no mention of a mother. Now, perhaps he had a mother, wife of this man. But the man is taking the initiative and taking his proper place as the father in the family to do something about the situation, see? And he can't do it himself, you know? You know, so often we have a problem come up and we don't know the answer, right? And especially in this matter of sickness, you know, we say, well, we pray. What do we do? We pray, right? What else can we do? You know, many times the doctors say, well, I can't do anything about it. And we have to pray. And that's what is happening here. We find these disciples, it doesn't say what they did exactly. But I think from what Jesus says at the end, they were not praying. Apparently not. You know, they watched Jesus. What did he do? He just says, be healed, right? And there it is. Or open your eyes, open your ears, and that kind of thing. And no doubt they tried that as well. Well, he had sent them out on this mission, right? You go and do these things, and they did. But here was a tough situation. This, I don't know if one demon is stronger than another or whatever, but anyhow, we find that they couldn't do anything about it. And that's rough, isn't it? When you're facing up with a problem, you have something you want to see accomplished, and this person has such a tremendous need, and, you know, it's like watching, you know, these little kids on television or whatever. Sick and everything, and you can't do anything to help them. And here we find this young man. It doesn't say how old he was, but he was the only child of this man, and this spirit was afflicting him. In verse 18, he says, he takes him, I read that a while ago, tears him up and foams and makes him foam at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and all of these things. All a horrible situation. Right? And he's asking Jesus to do something about it. It's wonderful that you have someone that you can go to that has the answer. Your disciples didn't have it at this point. But the Master did. The Master, the Lord, Jesus himself. He was able to cast out this demon out of him. And he saw the people coming, and he says, let's see. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Very specific, right? Get out of here and don't ever come back. How about that? Huh? And but I like this other verse up here in verse 22 and verse 23. It says, he's describing what happens, and he says, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's his request, right? And notice he calls him Lord. That's an important thing to see. That he is the Lord. He is the one that we look to for our needs. The Father's prayer in Matthew chapter 17 is a parallel passage. And let's see, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? You think he was irritated? It seems like he probably was thinking, these disciples by now should know how to do this. You know, we've been doing it for a while now. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So, he says here, if thou canst do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Right? This man, Jesus answered him, and he said, if thou canst, what? Believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. See, there's that faith again, right? It's faith that's so important. When we come to the Lord, we have to believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see? He's the one who is able to meet every need. The Father's prayer. He came kneeling in humility before the Lord and called him Lord and Master and pleaded for mercy. And Jesus gave it to him. You know, the Lord says, you know, ask, seek, knock, and you'll be able to have it open to you. And here this man comes. And I like what he says. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he responded here. This is in Matthew again. I've got these three passages I'm looking at. And Matthew 17, verse 19. That's a different one, isn't it? Here it is. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. No, that's not it. Why could we not be cursed? No, wait a minute. I'll get it straight here in a minute. Father's faith. I wanted to emphasize that, and I can't seem to. Here I go. Anyhow, what he said was, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus healed the boy with that kind of faith. You know, what I'm trying to emphasize is that we don't always have the answer. We may not always have the faith to believe as much as we should. But the Lord is so gracious to us to hear and answer our prayers whenever we come to him. And so we find here Jesus assures him of his that he's going to hear and answer his prayers. All things are possible to him that believes. And then we find his faith. We say verse 24, straightway the father, well, this is what I was looking for. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. See, we need to come to the Lord with whatever our present circumstances are, right? And even though we may not have that strong faith that we need to place our faith in the strong person of Jesus Christ, right? He says, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus cast out this spirit and gave him what he had asked for. And He had a very simple and sincere faith. He cried with tears and looked to the Lord. It says it was a small faith. You know, Jesus said in another place, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." That's a good prayer to have, I think. You know, help me to believe. Give me the strength, the wisdom to put my faith and trust in you. And we see that it was sufficient. It was sufficient faith. Jesus said, you know, if you have faith, even like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be cast into the sea, and it can happen. Now, I've never seen that personally, but at any rate, that's what he said. So it's not how much faith we have, but it's faith in an almighty God, right? He's the one who is able to take that simple faith that we have and multiply it, increase it, and do great and mighty things. It was sufficient. We don't have necessarily have great faith, but we have faith in a great God. So then the Lord responds here in verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. He just lost everything. He just fainted away, right? And many of them said, "Oh, he's dead. You've killed him." You know? No. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. So often that happened. You remember with Jairus' daughter, the 12-year-old girl? She was laying there still, and they all said, "She's dead." And Jesus, no, he says, "Maid, I say unto thee, arise." And he took her by the hand, and she rose up, right? The hand of Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful to think about that. And here he rebukes this demon. He comes out of him. The boy then is restored completely. Can you imagine the joy of this father? How long had he put up with this situation? Since the kid was very young. And now he's a young man. And he has his whole life before him. He's going to be free from this demon possession and from all the diseases. He's able to speak. He's able to hear. Jesus healed him completely. And this father, no doubt, went away from that place rejoicing, whereas he had come in great sorrow. He goes away rejoicing. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. So I'm sure this father rejoiced in all of that. So we can see in this story some wonderful lessons for us. Every father should be concerned about the needs of his children. You know, we hear, you know, there's a lot of absentee fathers, you know. I don't know what the statistics are, but I know that there's a vast number of children being raised by their mother or their grandmother or something of that nature, you know. Whereas it's the father's responsibility to be the leader in the home and to stand by the stuff and be faithful and provide for the family. Every father should be concerned about the needs of his children. And this man certainly was. He didn't know what to do, but he finally took him to Jesus. And Jesus knew exactly what to do. He took care of the situation. Every father should come to Christ in this way, in faith believing. Whatever his faith is, place it in Jesus and allow him to meet the need. The need for salvation, yes. That's the most basic need that we have, right? And this man says, Lord, I believe. He put his faith and trust in him. He knew him. And he knew what he could do. And we should have that same kind of faith and allow the Lord to provide for us. Every father may realize the desired answer if he comes in the right way. Comes to the Lord. The Lord will meet that need, whatever it is. Not always in the way that we think of, but he will help us in every situation of life. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts, and help us to be what you want us to be. Whether we're fathers or mothers or children or whoever, may we place our faith and trust in you. Lord, you know every heart. You know our needs. You know our preoccupations, the things that we face each day. And I just pray that you will help us to look to you and find the strength we need for our lives in every area of life. Lord, we just ask you to bless your word to our hearts today and to guide us and help us in all that we do today, that we might be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.